Like for us to start out today to look at Psalms 103 is where we're going to mostly look at today. We're going to go through this passage that Devin read for us piece by piece. But before we actually get into it, I would like you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, because this will set the tone or the background for what we are going to discuss this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, down at the end in verse 32. It says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." And what I would like for us to consider today is, what does it really mean to forgive? In particular, when God says that we are to forgive as He has forgiven us, what is He expecting of us? See, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us that our ability to forgive other people is tied closely to our own personal forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 14, says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." It had become something critical that I need to forgive other people. Now, we live in a society where words have basically become meaningless. People say things, but they really don't mean it. It's not new. You're looking through the scriptures, Jesus talks about the Pharisees and the scribes and talk about their hypocrisy. They're putting on an act. They talk a good game, but they don't actually live it. And we live in a society that's basically the same way, especially when it comes to things like forgiveness. People are quick to say the words, but what does it actually mean? Because it's not just words. It's not empty words. It has substance to it. It means something. So going back to Psalms 103, which is where we're going to be going back and forth to quite often this morning. Psalms 103 is about forgiveness. It starts out in verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Now, when someone injures us, it hurts. One of the reasons why forgiveness is so difficult is because a lot of times it's personal. Yet when somebody does do us harm, in Luke chapter 17, and starting with verse 3, it says, "Be on guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." When somebody does you harm, our duty is to tell them that it's wrong. You don't go off in your corner. You don't pout. Don't say, "I'm never going to talk to him again." It says we got to rebuke him. And when he repents, we have to forgive him. In the extreme, the example is given, well, what if he does it seven times in a day? Well, seven times in a day, you forgive him. I think most of us will probably about the third or fourth time start finding a little bit difficult to really mean that we're going to forgive that person. But notice, what is being stated here. When God forgives us, when David talked about being forgiven by God, he talks about the joy of having been forgiven, the excitement. And the reason for that is that when we sin and we realize that we have done wrong, there's some guilt that goes along with that. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, starting with verse 10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. When a person realizes they're wrong, it starts out with sorrow. There's guilt. There's sadness that they had done such a thing. What it ought to do is produce within us a radical desire to change. To the point where somebody who meets us later says, there's no way you did that. They just can't imagine that you would be involved in such things. That is repentance. But for a moment, I want you to understand, though, there's that guilt aspect of it. And when someone is truly forgiven, the burden is lifted from the person who has sinned. It's healing. It's restoring. When somebody is told that you forgave them, do they feel like their life just restarted? See, that's what happens when God forgives us. That's what ought to happen. But it should be what happens when we forgive other people too. Sometimes it doesn't, though. And there's reasons for them, and we might see that as we go on a little further in Psalms 103. In Psalms 103, verse 3, it says, verse 6. Psalms 103, verse 6. It says, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. When we talk about forgiveness, is not when God forgives, it's not arbitrary. It's not something just done on the spur of the moment or on a whim. God forgives because it is right. Because this is the right thing to do. It's just. God is just in the fact that he treats us all the same. Take a look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 21, it says, now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and by the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, notice how many times he gets the word just in there. When God forgives, it's not because of a whim, it's not because of a feeling. God looks at it and says, this is the right thing to do. And it's just because he does it to everyone by an equal measure and on an equal basis. Continuing on in Psalms 103, it says, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. When God forgives, it's also a teaching experience. It's a time to learn. When we realize that God's ways are right, and that we are the ones who made a mess of the situation with our sins, we come to realize that there's good reason for God's laws. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, Deuteronomy chapter 10, and starting with verse 12. It says, now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, for your good. This is the reason why God gives commandments. It's for our good. You know what? We learn from our mistakes. We ought to. None of us are perfect. I tease students. Actually, I picked this up way back when we were homeschooling our kids. We expected them to make mistakes. We expected them to get assignments wrong. But we wanted them to go back and fix it. I still do that in my college classes. I tell the students up there, you can fix these things and turn them back in. It's amazing how many students won't try. They'll take whatever grade you give them and just won't even try. But when we make mistakes, it's a chance to learn. When we sin and God forgives us, we have an opportunity now not to wallow in our past, but to learn from it. I now understand why God says this is wrong. I understand now why I ought to do it this way. I need to look at my own life and see what I need to change to be more like what God wants me to be. There's a chance to grow. Interestingly, too, when we go back to Psalms 103 and look at verses 8 and 9, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. God doesn't dwell on what he's forgiven. God's not a, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget it type of person. He doesn't fume over it. He doesn't constantly review it in his mind. When God forgives, he puts it out of his mind. Take a look at Jeremiah 31. There's a phrase right at the end of verse 34 that I want for us to take note of. Jeremiah 31, and in verse 34, it says, they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more. I can't tell you how many people tell me, well, yes, I know I've sinned, but I can't forgive myself. And what they're really saying is, I can't forget that I sinned. But God can. God understands when forgiveness comes that he has left it behind. Yes, he gets mad when people violate his laws. He justly gets angry. But he doesn't hold on to it. In fact, there's another phrase that's in verse 9 of Psalms 103. It says that he will not always strive with us. The English Standard Version has an interesting way of putting it. It says he will not always chide. And some people just won't let the past go. And that becomes then a barrier to moving forward. Now, yes, sometimes when I do things wrong, I get caught into a bad habit. And I'll be needing reminding that I'm going down that wrong path again. But those reminders are not needed when I'm walking the right path. Some people just won't let the past go. When a person has changed, they're doing the right thing, yet they're constantly reminded that they've done the wrong thing. That's not God's way. The focus is on going the right direction. In verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God gives us less than what we deserve. You see, when one forgives, and this is a matter that sometimes we need reminded of, the word forgive is to release somebody from a debt. Basically, we still use it in banking and accounting and stuff like that. When somebody's debt is forgiven, is released. It would be silly to say, okay, I'm forgiving your debt, and then say, still expect to have payments made. Forgiveness is the releasing of a debt before it is fully paid. Now, this is not saying that God's ignoring sin or excusing sin in any way. But when God forgives us, I need to stop incurring the debt. And God stops expecting payment. Take a look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, there's that idea. He's faithful. He's just in doing this. It's not something arbitrary. But God, when he forgives, doesn't expect people to still make payments. In Psalms 103, starting with verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so he has removed our transgressions from us. To understand that, we need to understand that sin creates a barrier between us and God. In Isaiah 59, in verse 1, Isaiah 59, starting with verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. We ought to understand that when somebody does you wrong, it's really hard to talk to that person. That problem stands like a wall right between you and them. But when God forgives, did you notice how what David described it as? He takes our sins and throws them as far as the east is from the west. How far do you have to go to get from go west to get from east? It's an infinitely long way. God removes that barrier because he has forgiven us. Now we got to understand, the barrier is removed. It doesn't necessarily mean the relationship is instantly improved. But there is a chance for that to be repaired. We take away the thing that's keeping the two from talking, and now work can be done on the relationship. You think about it, why does God do all this? Why does God put that much effort into forgiving us? Well, one is that in Psalms 103, God understands that we're like children. In Psalms 103, starting at verse 13, it says, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. I want you to understand that and think about that. Yes, most of us here are adults. Some of us have been adults for a while. But you know what? Every once in a while, the child of me kind of slips up. You know, when we're dealing with kids, we kind of make allowances for them. Not that what they do is any much better, but we kind of understand they have learning to do. They have some difficulties to go through. They have some experiences they need to gain. God understands that we're like children. Now, we're not talking about people who don't care to be forgiven or people who think they have done nothing wrong. God's talking here about those who fear God, the one he's talking about. Yet all of us have to realize that we haven't always let go of our childish ways. We still at times lose our temper. That selfish streak in us arises every once in a while. If we ever actually step back and hurt ourselves, if we could just hear that echo of, no, it's mine, going on. It's not an excuse for sin. But we have to remember that we have weak moments. And we all need to grow. Go back to 1 John. Chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We read verse 9, but I'd like to read verses 8 and 10, which are surrounding it. It says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Down at verse 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All of us slip up. And shouldn't that make it a whole lot easier to forgive? And we realize that, yes, they have their moments too. The other thing that God says that's behind this, in Psalms 103, starting with verse 14 now we got down to, Psalms 103, verse 14, it says, for he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. For as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the fields, so he flourishes. When the wind passes over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. God understands we don't live that long. Oh yeah, especially when you're young, you know, somebody gets up to the 60s or 70s, that looks like forever. That's ancient. Those of us up in those ranges start looking backwards and saying it was nothing. I've gotten to the point where I start thinking about, you know, how many more years do I have left? And thinking, I got all these things planned and I don't have enough time. Life is way too short to hold grudges. It's too short to let a matter remain unforgiven. And when somebody dies suddenly, you sometimes hear people say that. I never got to resolve this matter. I didn't get to talk to them about it. I didn't get to say I forgave them. Why hang on to it? God understands that we are short in lifespan. And so he forgives. Then there's no regrets. And in Psalms 103, starting with verse 17, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children's, and to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. Notice the emphasis is there. That God knows that we're trying. Again, we're not talking about the people who just don't care. The ones that God forgives, he understands, he knows that we are putting effort into it and trying. We don't always make it, but we're trying. If we understand this about God, it ought to bring praise to him. That's how David ends this particular psalm. Starting in verse 19, it says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who performs his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you of his works, in his places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise God for his word, because he keeps his word. He does exactly what he says he's going to do. And think about what God means when he says, I forgive. It's not empty words. It holds a wealth of meaning. I want you to think about then, what about you? We started out with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 that said that we are to forgive like God has forgiven us. Are we reaching that level of which God has forgiven us? Are we letting things go? Are we really putting effort into it? Are we really letting people learn? Are we really understanding of the people who have harmed us? Forgiveness has meaning. I hope you'll think about it this day. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's forgiveness offered in Jesus Christ through the shedding of his blood. That forgiveness is offered to every one of us. If you'll put on Christ, we have an opportunity this morning. If there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God and be baptized, that offer is open today. For those who are Christians and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, Again, we have that opportunity. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song, Selected.